Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer, and I'm the director of Northwestern University's Infrastructure Technology Institute.
And I'm your co-host, Tom Herman.
The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. The target condition for physical infrastructure on mass transit facilities in the United States is called the State of Good Repair, or SGR. The concept of the state of good repair is used to help gauge current and future needs for repairing and renewing buses, rail cars, bridges, and track.
Based on analyses conducted by the U.S. public transportation systems mandated by the U.S. Federal Transit Administration, many facilities have not met this mark, in large measure because of insufficient funding. The challenge faced by transit operators today, particularly managers of the oldest systems in the country, is to meet or come close to that target with available resources.
Our guest today is Christopher Boylan, who is Deputy Executive Director for Corporate and Community Affairs for the New York Metropolitan Transportation Authority, who will discuss the state of good repair challenges involved in managing an aging transportation system. Chris, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Happy to be with you.
For those of us that are not experts on New York, can you give us a sense of the scope and the scale of the MTA transit system?
Sure. The MTA is more than what most people think of us as being, which is the subways in the city of New York. We actually run all the subways and buses within the city of New York, but we also operate the nation's first and second largest commuter railroads, the Long Island Railroad and Metro North Railroad, which goes north from the city. But we also have, in addition to our transit system, we operate 7 bridges and 2 tunnels, all of which are tolled, and the tolls from which help support our transit system in part. We move about 8.5 million people a day, and that is about between 25 and 30% of all the transit rides in the United States. And we like to talk about the fact that we move as many people in about 3.5 days as Amtrak may move all year, and as many people in 12 to 14 weeks as the domestic airlines move all year. Our operating budget is about $12 billion a year, and our current 5-year capital program planned investments are in about the $4.5 billion a year category.
Can you tell us briefly what state of good repair means to MPA and what's the criteria for some of your most critical assets?
Well, it's a state of good repair is the lifeblood of our system. We had history back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s where the region was not making the investments in the system that they needed to make. And in fact, what that ended up causing is an almost collapse of the system in the late 70s and early 80s. Your typical ride on an MTA subway was one that was fraught with delays, with track fires, with derailments, with stations that were in disrepair. It wasn't a very attractive environment, and it almost collapsed in the early 80s and almost took the city with it. But back in 1982, we put in place the first of a series of 5-year capital programs that started making the investments that needed to be made. And what that has meant to us since then is things like breakdowns on the subway. The improvement is up by 1,800% since 1982. The buses break down 670% less frequently than they used to. Subway delays are down by 60 or 70%. And you see that the reaction that people have to those investments in terms of their willingness to come back to the system. In 1990, when we were still in our rebuilding mode, we had about 5.2 million customers a day. Today, we're carrying about 8.5 million customers a day. So if you build it and maintain it and keep it in a state of good repair, to coin or to borrow someone else's phrase, the people will come, and they came back to the system.
Are there any major components that of the system that present a larger SGR problem than others do?
Well, when you're dealing with infrastructure that's between 100 and 175 years old, just about everything is a challenge. And it's particularly challenging in the New York environment where you have a mature area where you are making investments while you're both running the system and while you have a lot of activity above and around your system. If you had to pick one particular category, I think the thing that is a particular challenge to us today is trying to provide things like modern ventilation in our systems. The systems, when they were first built, are just naturally ventilated. And with today's new technologies that generate more heat and all that kind of stuff, you really want to be able to vent. But the challenge is trying to get those vents located in places where you may have a 30-story building above you, or a very busy highway, or a very, very busy main artery. So there's a lot of different challenges.
So I'm curious about the radical improvement that you've been able to make. To what extent, maybe it's a simpler way to ask it, where did the money come from? I mean, it sounds to me like that prior to those changes, that budget might have been an issue, but somehow you found the resources.
Well, you know, and I think the sad part of the history is it took the near collapse of the system for folks to really appreciate its importance to the region and to its economy. And that unfortunate occurrence drove people to make some difficult decisions to provide the resources. The state of New York and to a lesser extent, the localities that we serve stepped up to the plate to, in fact, provide the resources. And also the federal transit support was starting to grow from the original Urban Mass Transportation Act that was around since the early 60s and 70s. It really started taking off. So a combination of things allowed us to start making the kinds of investments on a very regular and planned out basis. Up until 1982, we were doing our capital budgeting on a year-to-year basis. You can't do a long-term project that way. By putting in place five-year capital programs, where you had a horizon where you could plan long-term projects, we were able to kind of take those resources and apply them more rationally.
Is there any risk that you perceive that now that things are running better, that the public will to fund it will be lost, sort of the other edge of the sword where they jumped in when the system was breaking down?
Well, I have to tell you, that's the thing that worries us all the time, because the public's expectations are very high now. Our own success has put us in a place where people in some instances do take the reliability of the system a little for granted. And folks don't want to be reminded of what was 30, 35 years ago. Some of our customers weren't even born 30, 35 years ago, so they didn't see it then. So it's very hard for people to understand that the system can deteriorate from a lack of resources. So and the political environment always addresses what is the most urgent need. So when you have achieved in many areas, you know, state of good repair, and you're into what we would call normal replacement cycles, it is hard to maintain the urgency of continuing funding, because our infrastructure, even though we've done a good job in terms of maintaining some parts of it and bring parts of it back to a state of good repair, you know, that stuff ages out too. We started making investments in 1982, and here we are in 2010, 28 years later. A lot of those investments are at the end of their useful life and need to be replaced again.
If you were going to look at the system as a whole right now, how would you describe it in terms of what amount of it is in a state of good repair at this moment?
Well, we kind of categorize our state of good repair by the different elements of our environment. We tackled a lot of the items that dealt with the most important thing, which is customer safety. So we replaced tracks, and we replaced some of the signals that were outdated. We replaced the rolling stock. We were running cars that were past their useful life. We were running buses that were 20 years old that broke down on a regular basis. So I would say that we are, in many categories, we have achieved what we would call a state of good repair, and we are into what we call normal replacement cycles, particularly as it relates to our rolling stock. But there are other categories that need continued work to achieve state of good repair. I don't know that I could put an exact percentage on it, but there's always something left to do, believe me, in terms of state of good repair.
So you talked about maintaining the public's attention, particularly when things are going well. It's no longer a crisis, and so I think it's very easy for people and for leadership to walk away and say, well, we don't need to do anything with this. Is there anything in particular that your organization does to maintain that commitment, to make sure that the elected and appointed leadership is aware of the need for continuing care and feeding of your infrastructure?
Yes, and that's actually a very important part of what I do for the MTA, but we have others who do that, including our chairman, who is constantly talking to decision makers at the federal level, at the state level, at the local level, to remind them of the economic importance of what we do. And you see, when there are little glitches in the system, how it can ripple through the economy. And so by using some of those examples with decision makers, you know, we try to get them to understand. The difficulty we have is that, you know, we rely on them to make other decisions, like how to raise the money for the types of investments that are needed, because they are very expensive. They are very, capital intensive investments, and they all can't come from the MTA system itself. We need other supporters. And so far, we've been successful at doing that. I think the difficulty that we face right now is trying to encourage people to provide new and additional resources in a very difficult economic time.
What, if you get those resources, are the immediate investment needs? What are the most important things that you'd like to see investment in right now?
Well, we have a very detailed 5-year capital program that we just actually introduced that began January of 2010. That runs through 2014. So there's a list of all the priorities over the next 5 years. But if you were to ask me one single thing that I think would be an important focus, it's bringing things like our signal system up to more modern standards. Our signal system is great. It works. But it is using technology that probably was state-of-the-art back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and it's maintained in a state of good repair, but there are efficiencies that we could achieve by bringing it to, 21st century standards.
Those are signals that let which train know when it's time to go, when it's time to stop, when it's time to wait. And those
correct. And, signals also maintain the spacing between the trains, so they affect your ability to run more trains in the same space and so forth. So there's a lot of things that investments in newer technologies would benefit us and our riders.
So it's not just a matter of keeping the system operating the way it has been, but the possibility that a new technology and a new system may allow you to provide more service or better service.
That's correct. And our current chairman, Jay Walder, has been a very much a proponent of taking us to the next step by using intelligent technologies, whether it's for signals or whether it's for customer information. And so even though folks have gotten used to the success of the system that they see now, he is preparing us for taking it to the next step.
Does it ever trouble you if you look at, let's say, what's going on with signal systems in the Washington Metro system or the Chicago Transit Authority system, where they've had some problems with new technologies that maybe the old technology has some security associated with it?
No doubt they are safe, but I do think that there are probably efficiencies and capacity issues that you can achieve with newer technologies. And that's what we would hope to do. And then there are cost savings associated with some of those. As you can well imagine, if you have to maintain an electromechanical signal system, that is much more labor intensive to maintain than something that's I don't want to say solid state, but a post-solid state kind of environment where it's much easier to maintain and the reliability factor is higher.
From where you sit in the New York metropolitan area, can you give us a sense of how well New York is doing relative to other cities? Or maybe a better way to say it is, how are other cities doing in comparison to what you've been able to achieve?
Well, I don't know that I'm qualified to comment on how well everybody else is doing, but I can tell you that our system is the lifeblood of the region, and I think our success has been an example for other systems around the country, both old and new, and I think the fact that our investments have produced additional ridership has encouraged other places to both improve their system and expand their system, and also other places to create new systems. So I think there's a little bit of watching what each of us is doing, but I can't tell you exactly where the others are compared to ours. But I think we've made tremendous progress in New York.
Is there any thing in particular that you do that might be different than what other organizations do to collect data on the condition and performance of your infrastructure? I mean, do you have timely data that supports good decisions? Do you have what you need?
Well, I'm not going to tell you that we're perfect, but we do have systems in each of our operating agencies. New York City Transit, which is the largest of our operating agencies, has a very formal system that tracks the condition of its infrastructure. And in fact, we've talked to the Federal Transit Administration and other transit systems about how we can share what we've learned in both the New York City Transit system and then also with our two commuter railroads, how you track, the age of the system, the replacement cycles and all that. Way too involved for the kind of discussion we're having today, but yes, we do have formal systems in place that help us track the state of good repair.
And aside from having components that are some of the oldest of any transit system in the country, are there any other challenges that are particular to New York that you face that aren't faced by other areas of the country?
Well, again, one of the things I mentioned earlier is the density of New York. We are a mature area, so building a mile or so of new subway tunnel in New York, or even rehabilitating existing parts of our system, while you have a major center of commerce going on 100 feet above you, is certainly a challenge that not everybody experiences. I think the other thing is we are a 24-hour-a-day city and region, and most of that is only possible because our subway, bus, and rail systems are 24 hours a day. But that means that the expectation of our customers is that if they, no matter what time of day they want to travel, we will be there to provide the ride. But we have to rehabilitate our system while we're operating it. And, people equate it to performing open heart surgery on a patient who is awake, or changing a tube on a bicycle while you're riding it. Those are challenges that I'm not sure everybody else experiences. Many systems around the country shut down for 4, 5, 6 hours or even more overnight. We don't have that luxury, so we have to work and make sure that our system operates around us.
And I'm sure that has a significant impact on your cost of operation as well.
Absolutely, but then also would the downtime that our customers would experience if we didn't do that work, or if we had to shut the entire system down to do it.
But it's really a manifestation of the fact that your system is so tightly integrated into the society and the economy of the region.
That's right. Well, it's a symbiotic relationship. I think we both feed off each other. I think the region has been economically successful in the last 25 or 30 years in a way that people couldn't have envisioned. And part of that, I think, is because of what we've done. And we've been able to do what we've done because of the economic vitality of the New York area. So, you know, we complement each other very nicely.
And you've been able to make the case. I wonder, are there circumstances today where your organization feels pressure to extend the system, to push further into the suburbs, where the resources would, in effect, trade off against maintaining a state of good repair in the core system?
Well, we're actually involved with two of the largest, what the federal government calls New START projects right now. One of them is extending the Long Island Railroad into Grand Central Terminal. Right now, the Long Island Railroad terminates in Penn Station. And the reason we're doing that is to provide additional capacity for all different parts of the region, not just Long Island. We're also doing something that's been on the drawing board since the early part of the 20th century, which is we're building the Second Avenue subway, which it sounds a little funny to say we're extending it into the outer reaches but of Manhattan, because Manhattan is very dense and the upper east side of Manhattan is dense, but folks have been waiting for the Second Avenue subway in those dense parts of Manhattan for 75 or 80 years. So we're happy to be able to do that. I will tell you the cost of doing that is very high because of some of the things that we talked about, trying to operate in a very dense area.
It would have been less costly to build it when the idea came up originally.
Right. Yes. Unfortunately, I don't have that luxury today. Yes.
And I've waited a long time for a subway, but I've never waited 75 or 80 years.
So you've really given us some good insights into the largest public transit system in the United States. The figure that I saw that stuck with me was something like 2/3 of the rail transit riders in the country are in New York City. The scale and scope are most impressive, but I think what the message that we've gotten from you has the lasting value is the achievement you made in terms of getting the region to make the commitment and to provide the resources to restore the system to a state of good repair and to keep it there.
That's right.
So we thank you. I thank you very much. It's been a very interesting conversation. We appreciate your spending the time with us.
Thank you, and thank you for helping to continue getting the message out, because it's important for people to hear it.
Well, you've given a good message, and we appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.